might have heard that the Metallica boys were gonna play some heavy shit tonight.
Welcome to Mill Up Your Podcast. I'm Ethan Luck, and this is another edition of Metal Tales from the Road. And right now on the phone via Skype, we've got Edgar Barradas. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just tried to rest as soon as I came back. Went to Paris to Metallica, and that was a crazy trip.
Yeah, you're probably pretty jet-lagged still.
A little bit. Not too much, really.
That's good. Sometimes anytime I've gone overseas, it would sometimes hit me like a few days later. Like I get home and that night and the next day I felt totally normal. And then all of a sudden at like 3 p.m. the next day, I would just crash.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen.
Right, totally.
This last time I went there, I haven't experienced jet lag like that, but that's probably going to happen.
Go to and from Australia sometime and that jet lag is gnarly.
Yeah.
That one totally messes you up. You get back and it's like noon and you want to go to bed.
That's what, like 13, 14 hour flights?
Yeah, usually just from LA to Sydney is like about 13 and a half hours. It takes forever to get there and it's such a long flight.
To do that in, August, September? Whenever they're doing August, September?
Oh, from
October?
They're doing October down there, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know a few people that listen to the show are going to that. I know Sarah and Pete Sobeck are going to that one. I think they're going to almost all of the ones down there, New Zealand and Australia. That's a commitment, man. If you're a diehard fan to travel halfway around the world.
I'm not trying to go for a week. I'll probably just do three shows, but that should be enough.
Yeah, totally. So you've done the Metal Tales before with Clint, but let's kind of maybe recap. Just, you know, we don't have to go into crazy detail, but just kind of remind the folks kind of how you got into the band and like the, you know, first record you bought, etc.
Real quick, long time ago, when I started listening to Metallica, I started because I wanted to learn the guitar, and then my friend showed me Nothing Else Matters and Forgiven, which are pretty easy on acoustic. Then my brother bought Garage Inc, and he didn't like it that much, but I fell in love with it, and then eventually I started just listening to more songs here and there.
Yeah.
And then later on, Saint Anger dropped, and I fell in love with that one. I think that was the first album I had to wait for.
Yeah.
And, you know, from then on, I moved to the U.S. and then started meeting more people. Finally got to see my first show. And then after that, it just changed everything, dude.
That's awesome,
my first
man.
Show, that was it. I said to myself, that's what I want to be doing for a long time.
Totally, man. Yeah. Where did you grow up?
In Veracruz, Mexico. It's a little town called Paso del Macho.
Okay.
Right there about the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, man. There you go. That's awesome. I mean, I don't know how if you get to go back home and visit often, but, man, I've probably played down there maybe five or six times in Mexico City, Guadalajara, and Monterrey. And
yeah.
I love it down there. And, I mean, plus, you know, I grew up in Southern California, so I was only, you know, about 2 hours from the border, and all I just, you know, everything Mexican culture, food, it's like the top of my list. I love, you know,
I get to go back every year.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I love it, man. I mean, I grew up on it, you know, or, you know, even on the road right now, like, you know, first day of the tour, I always bring extra hot sauce on tour with me. It's always Tapatio or Valentina. And everyone's like, I'm putting it on everything, like not just like.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was telling my friend when we went to Paris. I told him, like, dude, you know what? The food here is great, but I wish I had some Valentino type of deal.
Yeah, exactly, man. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's that. I mean, I'm always telling the assistant tour manager who, like, you know, on the road will make like a bus stock list for stuff we need on the bus. And I'm always putting Topo Chico on there. Like, I'm definitely the Southern Californian on the bus. That's for sure.
That's great, man.
That's cool, but that's cool. It's a cool place to grow up, man. I love visiting there, and I hope I get to go back again soon. And I got some friends in Guadalajara that want me to come, me and my wife to come visit. So that might be have to be a vacation one of these days soon. But so what? Riddle me this. Question one really is like, how many shows so far have you seen on the World Wide Tour? And then question two will be, what prompted going to the Paris show specifically?
On the World Wide, I don't remember. I think I did, 15, 16 on the last arena tour.
Yeah.
But before that, I probably did like 3 or 4 in stadiums.
Dang, man.
And like here and there, 1 and 2 before the, I guess before the stadiums.
Right.
And this is the first one on stadium on Europe, because I came, I went to Europe last year to see them 5 times.
Dang, man. So just on this tour alone, you're like, what, like around 25-ish shows.
Oh, yeah, dude. This tour has been the biggest for me. Traveling for Metallica on this tour the most.
Man.
Definitely.
That's crazy, man. Yeah. You just got to basically work your ass off at home, save up the money, and then just go.
Yeah, dude, basically. Like, yeah, it takes a toll on the time, on the money. But, I mean, it's worth it, you know?
Yeah.
I try as much as I can.
Absolutely, man. I mean, I've talked about this before with a couple of other guests from Metal Tales, but, you know, if I didn't have the touring schedule that I did, I probably could have gotten to more shows, especially around the South, you know, like Louisville and anything near Chicago, whatever. It's all drivable from where I live. So, but I'm stoked to at least, I got, you know, 2 stadium shows and 2 arena shows. I'm a happy camper over here.
Mm-hmm.
What prompted Paris specifically, and, you know, why not like Lisbon or something like that? Was it just timing?
The reason why I decided to jump into Paris was because, I had not considered Paris at all, but then my plans were to go to the third leg and do from Germany all the way to Russia, to Moscow.
Oh, wow.
But then my friend bought his ticket to Paris, and he didn't get a black ticket, but I got the black ticket. And he thought one of us was going, and then to find out later that none of us were going to go, so he was kind of scared to go by himself.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because he's never been, like, out, and, you know, in another country but Mexico. And
yeah, it makes sense, though. It's intimidating.
Yeah, but he did learn French for 3 years, so I was very impressed by his French, by the way.
Oh, nice.
But still, you know, it's not the same.
Sure.
Dude, like the point where I changed my mind and I said fuck it was because whenever they play the first night on Lisbon, I saw the set list and I was like, no way.
Yeah,
like it blew my mind. And that same night, it was afternoon for us, I think, that same night I went and looked at flights.
I'm sure you're looking on Travelocity or whatever right when you saw that set list. I mean, everyone was freaking out when they saw that set list popping up.
And I looked and I said, well, what shows could I do? And then I knew that weekend I couldn't go because it was gonna be too expensive, and it was Barcelona and Italy around there,
right?
And to those two countries, so my plan was to go to a country I never been to, and Paris just happened to be on a Sunday. And it was perfect for me because I saw that I could leave on a Friday night and get there by Saturday.
Yeah.
And enjoy the rest of the Saturday, enjoy Sunday, go to the show, and then come back Monday from there to be here in California back in the same Monday. That means I would only take Monday off from work.
Yeah.
And that would work for me. You know, I asked my boss if he was okay with that. He was like, yeah, sure, no problem.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's only one day. The problem is when I ask for more days, like the July show. So I'm probably not gonna be able to do the whole leg, but I'll try to do 4 shows.
Oh, that's cool.
But that was the that was one of the reasons why I said, like, okay, I want to go to Paris. I'm going to go with my friend, new city, Metallica, crazy set list.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, Paris is such a beautiful city. And I don't know if you got much time to kind of walk around or explore, but it's such a rad place to visit. And it seems like almost every corner you go to, there's great food, great wine, bars, all everything, man. It's like, you know, there's always something to do there.
Yeah, I was impressed with how quickly you can get around.
Yeah.
To see a lot of stuff the first day. Mm-hmm. We wanted to see the Eiffel Tower and the Louvre that night. It was the only time we could see them at night. So we returned the next day and we went around and we got to see most of it and spend some time at those places, you know, just kind of take it in.
Yeah.
We headed out back to the venue and that was it.
Dude, that's awesome, man. Was there any kind of pre-parties you knew about or like a bar near the stadium that people were hanging out at?
I knew they had a pre-party for the Enter Night beer.
Right.
But we didn't get there in time. And by the time we heard about it, it was too crowded and it was too late for us.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, man. Did your buddy also have a black ticket?
No, he didn't get a black ticket. Like I said, he bought his ticket like way ahead of time.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, but did he at least get like, you know, a floor ticket so you guys could be together during the show?
Yeah, I got he got an experience, and then he actually also won the snake pit contest.
No way! That's awesome.
So that was one more reason why I needed to go.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, well, you know, perfect day is perfect timing. And then you happen to have an extra one, I'll take it.
Yes.
Because no one else wanted to go. So I said, like, I'll take it for sure.
So you have the black ticket, and that gets you in, like, the, what's the area called? Like the yellow something?
Sir. Yeah.
Yeah. And then so with him getting the snake pit, he was able to bring you in there?
Yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
So, yeah, if you happen to win the new snake pit passes, then it doesn't matter where you are, you still have access to that.
Yeah. Dude, that's so cool. Is that your first time being in the snake pit?
No, it's been like the third, I think.
Okay.
And then one in Pasadena, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it weird being in the snake pit at a stadium show? Because I'm sure at certain points you can't really see anybody other than maybe Lars.
It's a bit weird, but I like it. You know, it's chill. It's not as intense as being outside. That's definitely, you know, true.
Yeah.
It's a whole different vibe, you know. I feel like you get a better sound out there, sometimes a better view. But it's being on a snake pit is way convenient if you want to, you know, go out and get a beer and come back and it's chill.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to your spot. If you need to go to the restroom, you get out, you come back.
That's cool, man. Yeah,
I've just completed, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I've never gotten to experience it. We thought we were going to at the Detroit show, me and Paul and Clint, but we got denied pretty quick with our passes.
Yeah,
it was weird because we like the first security guy was like, yeah, go ahead. We're like, oh my god, it's happening. And then we got to the next one, the guy's like, get out of here. We're like, oh, okay, bye.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah, and we had to do the walk of shame past everyone on the rail who saw us walking in all excited and cocky, like, yeah, we're going to the snake pit. And then all of a sudden we all turn around and walk the other way.
That's so sad.
It was a bummer, but it was still a good show nonetheless. Man, we can jump into the set list if you want, because it seems to be they're starting, you know, we're starting to figure out which rotating slots are happening, but man, they're still doing. I mean, every night the set lists are so exciting to me.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, gosh, I mean, having a Saint Anger slot now, you got to be excited about that, being a fan of that record.
So, like, I'm so excited for it. Like, I don't know if you saw the meme out there where someone said, don't play a Saint Anger in Paris. And there's a picture of James and says, well, we will play two. I was hoping to play two, man.
That would have been crazy for sure. But yeah, there's some good stuff in here. It's crazy to see, like, you know, there's a lot of the staples that were on the US tour that aren't here anymore. Man, there's so much good stuff in here. So man, let's kind of jump into it.
Sure.
Obviously, you're opening with Hardwired because that's, you know, it's the Hardwired tour still.
Yeah, it's an opener.
Yeah, that'll be there. You know, that'll be there the rest of the tour for sure.
Yeah, sure.
And it's always a barn burner, good banger up there. Memory Remains second is, I thought, an interesting choice, but you know, because it's a bit of a slower tune. You know, I figured like maybe throw that in slot four or something. But were you hoping for this or expecting something different for that slot?
I was probably hoping something different. I know they played it on the second slot for the last, I don't know, 3-4 shows.
Yeah.
But I know they played something else on the second slot on the first second show, did they?
They were doing Disposable Heroes second at first.
Oh, okay. So that's what happened. They just bump it down a little bit. Then.
Which, that's crazy. Yeah, I mean,
it's weird to see Memory up there, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it's great. It pleases the crowd, but I don't know. From Hardwired to Memory, it's probably not the best. I think I like the Hardwired Disposable better.
Yeah, that would be a killer to see for sure. At least Memory Remains. You know, when you get to the end of the song, to the sing along part. I mean, I'm sure that had to have been awesome in a stadium full of people, just everyone singing along to that.
Oh yeah, it gets the crowd going like real quick too.
Yeah.
The outro and all that.
Yeah, I saw that they're doing like an extended outro.
Yeah, they did it. I know they did it like on the stadium tour one time somewhere, and I know they did it on Minneapolis. We got to see that.
Right.
Last. But it was kind of cool to see it on the stadium.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, we saw it in one of the arena shows, and it was great. I mean, that's one of my favorite Metallica songs, so I was pleased with it, but it wasn't in slot two, that's for sure.
Yeah, your rushing is pretty great, though. I like it.
Yeah, man. So slot three, Ride the Lightning. That they did that every once in a while on the stadium tour, but they kind of, you know, put it on the back burner for a little bit. But I'm stoked to see that it's in a rotating slot now.
Yeah, it's rotating with Disposable.
Yeah, and it's like either slot two and three kind of go back and forth. It's interesting how they're doing it. Like, I feel like on the last U.S. tour, there was like definite spots where they're rotating, and there still is. But like those two, that slot two and three seem to be, and even slot four, you know, kind of mixed and match a little bit.
Well,
I was gonna say, I bet Ride the Lightning was pretty rad in a stadium.
Yeah, dude. Any day. I'm more of a Ride the Lightning kind of guy, more than Master. So yeah. I was happy to be right there more than Disposable. I've got to see Disposable before, so I was between Disposable and Ride. I'll take Ride any day.
Yeah, man. Would you say the Ride the Lightning is your favorite record?
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's very cool, man. Well, dude, slot four is when I mean. It's a rotating slot, but the God That Failed, I mean, I did not expect them to be throwing that in the set list, like a deep cut from the Black Album.
Oh, no, like that when we saw that the first night when they played it, I was blown away, and I was like, no, they can't be doing this. Like, oh my God, I have to see that.
Yeah, man. Well, we've mentioned it 1,000 times on the show so far, but I mean, I really think some of these are just them prepping for SNM2.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I think we can all agree that that's probably one of the songs that they're going to play for that show.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. There was a little confusion because a lot of people, you know, when they said we're going to play compositions, you know, arrangements that Michael Kamen came up with, and stuff after that, you know, but we also don't know what arrangements he might have written that they never ended up playing, you know what I mean?
Correct.
Like,
yeah.
He could have had a whole arrangement done for the God That Failed. They ended up cutting it from the set for the first SNM.
That's very true. Yeah.
That's my theory, at least, that there was other ones that they've done.
Yeah, that's a great theory. Yeah, you know, we don't know how many new songs they're going to work on, but it'll be nice to have that deep cut of the Black Album in there.
Yeah, exactly. Or, I mean, God, Sanitarium and Fade to Black, you know, they're rotating those in and out. And, you know, he could have done an arrangement for one of those because those, to me, like, beg to have an orchestra behind them.
Yeah, Fade to Black to most, I think.
Yeah, totally. I wish I could have, you know, I know a lot of fans are, like, kind of upset over here that they're getting such a good set list in Europe. But, I mean, I'm stoked for everybody. I wish I could have seen some of these songs live. God, it failed. I mean, exactly.
I see why. Just because, you know, it's they're moving on to the next, you know, next year, third part of the, I guess the is the third year of the World War Tour, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
And they just need to pull out new things to keep us excited, and that's what they're doing. If they go back to the U.S. and maybe do a few more shows, I'm sure we're gonna get something like this.
Yeah, maybe so, man. I mean, I don't know at this point if there's gonna be any more U.S. shows besides the S&M shows, you know.
Yeah, I heard someone said that they were gonna go back and play a few, but then I was thinking, I don't think they're gonna do the whole U.S. again.
I mean, they went over the whole U.S. two times. I mean.
Yeah,
they did major markets and B markets, and you know,
I mean, like they still need to go down to South America. So,
yeah, I don't know. I wonder if they're gonna do South America.
I hope so. I got so many friends out there that they, you know, they it's not cheap to fly everywhere, and sometimes they can't even like travel that much. So,
right.
I wish and I hope they get to have Metallica there in their town. You know.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, and God, I mean, South American fans are crazy too.
Yeah,
like more so than European fans. I've played shows down there, and it's insane.
Yeah, but the French guy where I was staying at on my Airbnb, he asked us, "So how was the show? And how does it compare to the U.S. shows?" And I told him, "Like it's completely different with the crowd, you know.
Totally,
the crowd sing a lot more on the songs, and they follow the melodies with the guitar."
Yep.
And you know, they're just a bit louder than the fans in the US, not to be, you know, messed up about the US fans.
No, it's a different experience, man. I mean, I've worked and played a lot of shows in Europe at festivals over there, and they're just louder, and they sing the whole crowd sings different parts than like we would at shows here. Like you're talking about, you know, they sing the guitar parts a lot more and stuff.
Yeah, a lot more,
you know, the energy level's a lot higher. It's just how it is. It's no knock on any of us over here. It's just, this is,
yeah.
I mean, a good example would be go to a U.S. soccer game and then go to a soccer game in Europe. Like,
yeah.
The intensity is so much different.
I'm sure it's way different.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So, I mean, it's the same thing in Mexico and South America. I mean, you know, anytime my old band would play in Mexico, it was insane. Like after the show, like you're in the van going back to the hotel, and there's people like running after your van. It was the weirdest thing because they're just, you know, and you know, maybe it's because, you know, they don't get as many shows as we do in the U.S. So maybe we're just used to it up here. I don't know, but it was always interesting to go down there and see just how much more intense fans were about any band.
Mm-hmm.
Especially a band like Metallica, who are just massive, and people just lose their minds when they go to those shows.
Yeah, they don't get to see them often. So I know, like some friends of mine that have told me that going deeper down south, something that blew my mind. My friend from Costa Rica, he told me about like how people waited for 20 some days, making line, and I'm like, are you serious? Are you guys out of your mind? Do you
20
really
days?
Yes.
I guess they
make line and they go back and forth, but they still wait in line for that long.
I guess they just maybe they're them and their friends rotate. They got to go to work and do a shift, and then you hold the spot, and then you go to work, and I'll hold the spot.
Yeah, something like that.
That's crazy.
It's just it's mind blowing. So I'll take it for granted. You know, now with the black ticket, even more.
Yeah, totally,
to do
man.
That.
All right, well, moving back over here to Setlist World, next, Slot 5, Unforgiven. This is kind of obviously a staple. This is kind of one of those tunes they're more than likely going to always play at a show.
Yeah, it's a super crowd pleaser. But before we go to Unforgiven, I just wanted to mention on the Got That Fail, my friend that went to the first show, he mentioned that since he didn't know the Setlist, when they started the Got That Fail, they started it almost with the beat to Orion.
Oh, right. Lars starts it by himself.
Yeah. It's about the same beat. And then they, instead of the, you know, the bass line, they just go, di-di-din, di-di-din.
Yeah.
And then he was blown away because of that. Because he thought they were getting Orion because it was the same beat. So when I got to see this, I felt the same. I felt like, oh, my God, it's Orion. And then, like, quickly realized, oh, no, they're going to go with the Got That Fail.
Yeah. Still, it's a cool one, man. That's one of the songs that you would not expect them just to pull out. You know, maybe... if you're going to do a deep cut, maybe they'll do, you know, Through the Never or something. But not God That Failed. I want to see My Friend in Misery.
Oh yeah, same. I need to see Friend. I need to see Don't Tread on Me. What's the last one again?
Struggle Within.
Struggle Within. Those are the three I'm missing.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Be really cool. Yeah. So then,
all right.
Unforgiven.
Crowd pleaser. I heard the intro tape, but I didn't see the acoustic out. So I was almost shocked for a second, and then I see Chad running out with the acoustic, and I was like, "Oh, okay, we're getting the one."
Yeah, here it is. Yeah, this is always a good one. At this point in their set, is the band sounding good, sounding tight?
Super tight, man. Since the very beginning, they were pretty tight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. It's good. I mean, yeah, God, at this point, 2.5 years into it, I mean, it was almost 3 years ago that they started promoting this record, you know, maybe like September of that year. But, they're getting their work in. They're getting their exercise in for these songs. I mean, they're going to be, I think, real tight for S&M too.
Yeah, they're going to be super tight, I'm sure. I'm glad they're doing it. You know, I'm glad they're putting in the time and trying new things and working it out. You know, they're not being crazy.
Absolutely, dude. No, I love it.
Putting in.
So is this your first time seeing Here Comes Revenge?
No, I got to see the debut on, I can't remember the city.
Oh, where was that? It was like Lubbock, I think.
Yeah.
It was one of those cities.
First night.
What's that?
I said, I got to see it there on the debut night.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's a cool song, man. I'm actually kind of surprised they left it in for Europe again, but, I mean, they have been, you know, throwing in other, you know, Hardwired song. I know the other night they did Halo on Fire again. They did No Leaf Clover the other night, so I love that they're putting that stuff in.
Yeah, I mean, they rehearsed for it, so might as well throw it in there, right?
Yeah, exactly. At this point, I think they're just having fun. They're either having fun with the set list and just like, hey, let's change it up. Let's keep people excited. And also, I think at the same time, they're, you know, getting ready for S&M too, like we talked about.
Yeah, I think they're also seeing like what works and what works better and what gets more crowd participation. Probably so try to, you know, test the water for S&M.
Right, exactly, man.
I like Here Comes Revenge a lot. I'm happy to see that instead of Halo. I'll take Revenge any day more than Halo.
Really? Okay.
I love Halo, but I got to see it quite a few times, and Revenge is just so fresh, and some of the riffs are so nice.
Yeah, like, that's true. That's true.
Yeah. It gets heavy and everything in one song.
Oh, yeah. No, it's a great tune. I've watched some clips live, and it sounds awesome. And it's cool that they're right here. They're doing kind of the 1-2 punch, you know, Here Comes Revenge into Moth into Flame. I'm glad they're not ditching that song. I think that'll for sure be on S&M too.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably one of the favorites.
Yeah, Mods, definitely. The one that stood out the most the first time I listened to the album.
Mm-hmm. Me, it was Moth into Flame, Atlas, and Halo were the top ones that I was, like, you know, really blown away by.
Yeah. You know, I've never been a fan of Atlas.
You're not?
I know. Some people get like, what? You know, I was like, I don't know. Atlas didn't speak to me that much.
Yeah,
I know. Like,
that's crazy.
He's got some fun beats in there, and it gets you going. And I like it live. Don't get me wrong. I love it live.
Right.
But if I'm listening to the album, I may just keep that song.
What? Jeez.
No, that's weird. But that's just me.
Yeah, man. It's. Hey, listen. For our Spanish speaking audience, that is muy loco.
Muy loco, man.
Well, let's see, Mother Flame, man. We got Sabbath True next, which is, you know, again.
That was my.
What's that?
That was my downtime.
Yeah, is this time?
Oh, you said you want heavy, heavy. Okay, I want heavy, but not kind of heavy.
You're like, I'm going to go get a beer now?
No, but like that's when I, you know, I get to bend my knees a little more, rest it, kind of look around.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Maybe take a picture or two. And that's when, like, okay, I'm just going to, like, you know, do the thing, and then
right.
Yeah, sing along and everything. But it's kind of like my rest time right there. That's when, like, I take my little break.
Yeah. Okay. Stretch it out a little bit.
Yeah, stretch it out a little bit. Go say hi to the pit.
So this is kind of your meet and greet time where you go, you know, greet people in the pit and shake some hands, stretch your legs.
Yeah, we haven't done it before, yeah.
I guess it's a must in the pit. You got to pick one song to kind of mingle a little bit. It's like cocktail hour, you know.
Yeah, because you're standing there the whole time. Since, you know, we went all over the city. We walked a lot, and then we went to the venues, then stand there, and yeah. Then stand with the whole show. Yeah, it takes a toll.
Yeah, for sure, man. Yeah, you packed a lot in a short time, for sure.
Yeah.
So after your meet and greet time with all your adoring fans in the Snake Pit, this is kind of where we either get, it seems like, Sanitarium or Fade to Black, and you guys got Sanitarium.
Yeah, that was great. I'll take either. I think I will go for Fade to Black, but they already played, Ride, and then I know they keep Bells and Creep, not to go too much ahead. But I'll take either, and both of them are barn burners. I love them so much.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, gun to my head, I'd probably say maybe Fade to Black. But I mean, at the show, I would take either of these. I wouldn't be bummed on either of them.
I would not complain about either.
Yeah.
I love them. And they sounded super great. I can't really remember what they were playing, you know, as far as guitars. The only thing I remember is seeing Kirk's purple guitar,
right.
Sparkly one.
Yeah, that one's cool.
Which he ended up bleeding on it.
Oh, yeah, I saw him post a photo of his guitar with a bunch of blood on it, like he cut his hand or something. That happens sometimes when you're playing guitar. It gets a little intense and stuff, but... I think he posted something like, I bleed for you, Paris, or something like that.
Yeah, like we saw that on the screen, but I think it was about the, you know, later on the set list when we saw that he was bleeding and we got to see some of it on the screen.
Yeah, that's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was pretty tripping.
Heck yeah, man. So the Doodles, which, you know, some people aren't really fans of, but, they always kind of play something geared towards that city. So there's something, I don't know any French, but, Gueule? I don't know how to pronounce that. Gueule?
I have no idea. French is greatest.
Let's just pretend it means my guitar or something. I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think let's just say Gueule. I don't know. It that sounds not even close to French. Someone in France is listening to us right now just with rolling their eyes and smashing their head against the table. But they also did a little teaser of Manunkind and Orion, so you got that there.
I just Google it. It says it translates to my mouth.
My mouth?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Hey, whatever, man. That works. That works too. Let's play. Play my mouth tonight.
I'm sure it's a fun song. It's a fun song to play.
Yeah, totally, man. So one thing I'm kind of unclear on the setlist doesn't show it on here. After they did Manunkind and Orion, Rob still did Anesthesia, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought so. It's not noted on here.
And then he throws some of the licks to Orion. I know he switches it up a little. You know? He's happy with it, and then he does a little bit of Anesthesia.
Yeah.
I think he does. I can't remember.
Well, do you remember if there's big videos of Cliff on the screens?
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. See, I can remember if he's doing that or Ryan when they're playing the videos, or
maybe you were still stretching your legs and shaking hands.
No, I was down about, you know, about around that time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. No, Anesthesia.
Yeah.
I think he's just doing Ryan and Manunkind.
Okay. I haven't actually like seen footage of this show or anything yet, so I didn't know.
Anesthesia.
Yeah. Well, that's all good, because whether it was there or not, the next one is, I think, probably one of your highlights of the set, and they did Frantic.
Frantic. Now, I was so happy to see it.
Oh, I'm sure, man. Did you care if it was either this or St. Anger?
Be honest, I didn't care much, but if I had to pick, I would have rather hear Saint Anger.
Yeah.
But like, you know, I'm not gonna complain either one. I'm hoping I get to see Saint Anger on some other show.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, both of them, love them. They sound so good live. A lot of us can agree that the whole vibe of these two songs live is just so good.
Yeah, man. Yeah. How does the crowd over there seem to react to Saint Anger tune?
Pretty good. I know some people that I looked at that they're not big fans of Saint Anger.
Sure.
And I was looking at them, and they were headbanging, you know? I saw them headbang on those two songs.
They should, and man. I mean, come on. I mean, yeah, you may not, if you don't like that record, like, you know, there's still good riffs and good parts in those songs, and hearing it live, you're obviously hearing it sound way different than the album, so it's even better live.
Yeah, it carries on very, very nicely, and it gets you going. It sounds great. James sounds great, and if people have problems with the snare, then you have the regular snare there.
Exactly.
There's no room for complaints there, to be honest.
Right, so. Totally.
Yeah. And then Craig throws a little solo in there too.
Yeah, that's what I heard has been happening. It's just cool is that they're, you know, Kirk's actually thrown some leads in the songs, which obviously aren't on the record, so it changes it up a bit.
It's very short and sweet, you know.
Right, totally.
There, it's like it comes out of nowhere, but it's not. It doesn't stand out too much that it throws you off. It just kind of flows with the song.
Yeah,
and it's buried in the song as well, so it sounds great.
Yeah, man, that's cool. Yeah. So after Frantic, we kind of get into, like, you know, a lot of the staples here. One, Puppets, Bells, Creeping Death, Seek and Destroy. Anything notable kind of moving on with these?
It was nice to see, you know, the Pyro lay.
Yeah.
It's way, way too different life, you know?
Yeah, no,
and everything.
There's so much more on One. I mean, it's insane, you know, how much they can get away with in a stadium. And I remember seeing it just like, holy shit. It's like there's an actual war happening on stage.
Yeah. You can hear the people's reactions, you know, when they go, whoa, wow. And then you hear the explosions and they get all excited.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's awesome. I don't know. It's standing out. Maybe Master was great. Sounded great. They were all the way to the front. Play Master. That's when they pull out the drums, I believe.
Do they do that after Puppets?
I think they did it. I think it was after Puppets.
I know a couple of the shows that I've seen. It comes up for Creeping Death and Seek and Destroy.
No, they. They did it for whom the belt is, for sure.
Oh, that's cool. So three songs down in front with the other drum kit.
Yeah, I think it was after Master that they moved to the front.
That's pretty rad, because I know on the first stadium tour, it was just one song down there, just Seek and Destroy.
Yeah, Seek and Destroy. And it's better for the crowd when they do at least three songs right there by the front.
Yeah, totally, man. They're just, you know, they're trying to give a stadium full of people a better view, you know, which is great.
Yeah, and I definitely don't mind seeing them from the back, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Not at all. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. So, anything notable kind of here at the end of the set on Bells, Creeping Death, and Seek?
It's just Bells hits you, like, right in the nuts when they start it all the time, man.
Yeah,
just,
totally.
You know, when Lars starts it, you know it's coming, and I just look at my friend and go like, dude, da-da-da-da-da, and we just start jumping. Everybody starts.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one song that gets you going so hard. You know?
Absolutely, man. No, it does. Yeah, you know, I mean, they played that the few times I saw him, and it was fucking just great and heavy, and Rob kills it on bass.
Yeah. If you're not fist bumping, jumping, headbanging on that song, there's something wrong with you. You don't need to know Metallica or know that song. You just, if you never heard Metallica, that song has to get you going, regardless of whether you know them or not.
It was man. No, that's I put that in my maybe top 20, maybe even top 10. I don't know. Haven't made one in a while, but And Seek is also always a great ending. You know, they did this on the first stadium tour. It's always a great ender to the main set before the encore. Get the crowd singing along and stuff.
Crowd pleaser. The only other notable thing is that on Creeping Death they didn't do the die chant.
Oh really?
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, I didn't notice it at first.
Yeah.
They didn't build it up like they normally do, and. I know my friend told me like they didn't do that part, and I didn't realize at the moment, but now that I remember and I go back, yeah, we never went and did the die chant
part.
That's
so crazy.
I don't know if they did it for in purpose or they just skipped it and fucked it up. I don't know what happened. I need to listen to the audio.
Yeah, no joke. That is weird. Yeah, that seems like such a staple part of that song.
And then moving on to Seek and Destroy, which is super crap pleaser.
Yeah, that's always great sing-along parts in that song. The da-da-da-da-da-da, all that stuff is awesome.
Start dancing and stuff.
Yeah, totally. So moving into the encore, were you hoping for something like Lords of Summer or Battery or Blackened? Were you excited for Spit Out the Bone?
I was hoping for Lords.
Oh, yeah.
I never seen it live, so I was hoping for Lords.
Yeah, I love that they're playing it, man. It's kind of a random one to pull out, but again, maybe it's for S&M too. Who knows?
You know, I thought they were going to stay with Lords till the end of this leg. And they changed it up. I'm kind of bummed that they played Spit Out the Bone. I know it's like sounds weird, but I wanted to hear the other song because I just never seen it live.
Yeah, totally, man.
Spit Out the Bone quite a few times.
Yeah, I've never got to see Spit Out the Bone, so I would have been pretty excited for that or Lords of Summer.
I mean, yeah, don't get me wrong. Like some of my friends told me, like, you know, Lords of Summer is not that good live. It's just you would once you see it once, you'd much rather see something else.
Okay.
But you know, still it was that feeling of missing out. But I mean it was the first time they played Spit Out the Bone in a stadium, so there's that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that. That's awesome. You got to see the stadium debut of it.
The stadium debut Spit Out the Bone, and it sounded great, dude.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's a fucking barn burner of a track for sure. That's one of those songs. When I heard the new record, I was just like, oh my god, they won't let up.
Yeah, dude, relentless. It was just like
totally
pounding.
Yeah, man. So getting, you know, moving on to our, you know, the usual ending. It's always Nothing Else Matters into Enter Sandman. Seems like Sandman will just always close with that, you know. But how did Nothing Else Matter sound in the stadium?
Sounded pretty chill. It was just like, you know, the US shows. It sounded pretty cool. Sounded nice. Kirk started it, and everybody sung along, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Those are the ones that most people I think know, and one of the two most popular. And it's just like, that's when you go out and hug your friends and sing along. And
yeah,
look at the guys playing the song. And I just look at my friend, you know, and tell him, you know, do you realize we're in Paris and Metallica? And
yeah, totally.
This is a fucking crazy weekend. And just take it in and think about it, you know?
Right, yeah, because at this point it's all about to end. This is a total I love you, man moment.
Yeah, totally, man.
I love you too, bro.
Yeah, we hugged there, you know, a few of our friends just kind of hug along each other and just kind of
sing along. Man. You hear that, everybody? It's okay to hug your friends during Nothing Else Matters. Edgar does it. I do it.
Dude, like, I, you know, if you're around, I will hug you, man, and just sing along with you because it's, you know, we don't get to see each other often.
Right.
Most to whoever, you know, I get to see.
Well, I'll tell you. I'll tell you what, next time I see Metallica, when Nothing Else Matters plays, I'm just going to go on a hugging spree.
There you go.
Not even people I don't even know. I'm just going to walk up and be like, this is the song. You're getting a hug. All right? You look me in the eyes. And look me right in the eyes when we hug.
Yeah. The front hug, not a side hug.
That's right. No side hugging, man. We're doing full hug. Two arms. Hug. Squeeze it up. Squeeze it up. What does that mean? Squeeze it out? I don't know.
Squeeze it out.
I don't know.
Squeeze it out.
That can get real weird if we keep elaborating on that. I'm just going to go ahead and move on from that. So concluding with Enter Sandman, of course, with the Freight Ends kind of teaser outro, you know, crowd definitely lights up for this one. It's their biggest song ever. And what I love about this on the stadium tours is the song ends and it's like, there's a ton of pyro, but then all of a sudden there's this like full on fireworks show, like the 4th of July. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. They had a ton, maybe not as much cause, the state of France, had, you know, covered part of the, I guess the stage. So they did a little bit of pyro, but they didn't go too crazy with it cause they couldn't fire it up. Yeah. It'll hit the ceiling.
Ah, okay. Oh yeah. Cause the stadium kind of had a bit of an overhang to it.
Yeah, it had a little bit of overhang.
Yeah, so I saw some of the photos that the band and Lars posted. I mean, just look insane. Look, there's so many freaking people there.
Oh, dude, it was, I think it was like the third or fourth biggest attendance on the whole World War Tour, I think.
That's crazy, man. That's so awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool, it's past, dude.
Like 70,000. I think this one was like 80 or 70 or something.
I mean,
like
dude,
that.
that's like the size of like a normal festival. A whole weekend festival, you know, with like 50 bands playing. And this is just Metallica drawing that.
Yeah.
Just shows the power of that band, man.
Yeah. The whole place was packed, man.
Yeah.
Packed.
That's cool. Yeah. That's so awesome. So how bummed were you the next morning when you had to go to the airport?
Pretty bummed, dude. I woke up pretty early. But my friend was like, you know, sleeping, and I told him like, hey, we need to, get out. We still need to see one more thing, and then we head out to the airport. So
right.
We just tried to get with, and, you know, so we can be out there, have the time, go eat, take it in, and then just, you know, realize that we have to go back to our regular lives,
back to normal, real world. Oh man, well, yeah. I'm stoked for you, man. It sounds like you had a blast out there and got to hang with some good people. Got some good hugs in there on Nothing Else Matters. And, I mean, that's a hell of a trip, man. It's a commitment to go fly all the way to Paris, France just to see one show. But, I mean, what better band to go see than them?
Yeah, man. I will not complain one bit. I will not regret it. It was worth it. It was worth the time. It was worth the money. It was worth everything, dude.
Absolutely, man. No, I'm glad you did it, and you had a blast. And obviously, thanks for making the time before work to get on the phone with me and tell me all about it.
Yeah, anytime, man.
Yeah, dude. Well, everyone, this has been the Paris episode with Edgar. And, dude, again, thank you for taking the time to do this. And, hopefully we'll talk soon. We'll have you on the show again. And, as always, go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers, for sure.
Yeah, you're in L.A. I know you're a Dodgers fan.
I'm a bit. I don't watch baseball that much, but if I go to, if I need to root for one team, that will be the one.
There you go, my man.
Definitely.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, dude, and we'll hope to have you on the show again soon.
Yeah, hopefully. I'll be going back in July, so if no one signed up for any of those, I'll try to do one of those.
All right, man. That sounds good.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, bud. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you soon, and shout out to my friends of California Self-Destruct out there.
Hey, it's Clint from Metal Up Your Podcast, and we hope you're enjoying the Metal Tales from the Road series. If you've been keeping up with us, then you already know that we've covered every stop on the 2018-2019 North American Arena Tour, and we look forward to catching up with all of our European friends later this year on the Stadium Tour overseas. And there's more! After the Stadium Tour, we are continuing the Metal Tales series for any Metallica show in the past. Maybe you saw one of the Orion Festivals. Maybe you were at the Channel in 1984 and Cliff Burton bought you a beer. Maybe you were at one of the 30th anniversary shows, or you just saw a regular-ass show in North Dakota somewhere. We want to hear from you. Since Ethan and I started Metal Up Your Podcast, we've wanted to find a way for listeners to call in and share their stories. Well, this is it. To make yourself eligible for a future or past Metal Tales episode, please consider joining us on Patreon. For $5 a month, you not only get to come on the show as a guest, you also get both of our Cover Our World Blackened EPs, monthly giveaways like deluxe box sets, rare vinyl, posters, and other goodies. You get early access to our YouTube videos, and we also let you ask our guests like Ray Burton, Michael Wagner, Hailstorm, members of Slipknot, your very own questions. For what essentially amounts to 2 cups of coffee a month, you can ensure that Metal Up Your Podcast continues to grow in quality and content. For any of you on the ride with us, we love you, we thank you, peace and adios.